Today I want to talk about to be filled. We've been talking about from Pentecost, then last Sunday, then today about being filled. And the scripture I'm going to use is out of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, and it will be up on the screen behind you. But before we read that together, there's a story about a policeman who pulls over a driver one day for swerving in and out of the lanes on the motorway. And he tells this guy to blow into the breathalyzer. And the guy says, "I can't do that, officer. I'm an asthmatic. I could get an asthma attack if I blow into that tube." "Well, okay, then we'll just get a urine sample down at the station." "I can't do that either, officer. I'm a diabetic. I could get low blood sugar if I pee in a cup." "All right, then, we could get a blood sample." "No, I can't do that, officer, either. I'm a hemophiliac, and if I could give blood, I could die." "Well, fine, then. All right, I want you to walk along this white line." "Nah, sorry, I can't do that today, officer. I'm drunk." "So hence, I'm going to have a drink of wine." Good drop that. Wow. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 out of the Amplified. "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, and stupidity." Oh no, I put the "and" in there, didn't I? Just corruption, stupidity. "But be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by him. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart, to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and being subject to one another out of reverence for Christ." To be filled, the importance of us being filled, to be drinking of the things of God, to drinking of the Spirit of God. Yucca, if we can just leave that scripture up there so it's in front of us there. Verses 19 through 21 describe some of the effects of being filled with the Spirit of God. Verse 19, the effect is clearly being described or referred to as something musical, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. It's something that is rising up out of you, out of your heart, out of our hearts. And it's something, and I think it's quite safe to say that the chief idea of music is to bring joy, and therefore I think I can very happily put the correlation of the very fact that if music rises from us, from in our hearts, from being filled with the Spirit of God, then I think that clearly joy is in Christ is a mark of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody else get a yes on that? But it's not only joy. Verse 20 says this, "Always giving thanks to God the Father for all things." Always, forever, for all time, perpetual gratitude. Gratitude for all things. Therefore, clearly getting rid of grumbling, sulking, self-pity, bitterness, anger, sullen attitudes, murmuring, worrying, discouragement, gloominess, pessimism, etc., etc. So not only this idea here of not only something of musical joy and this idea of universal gratitude, but also loving submission to each other's needs. That's what verse 21 is talking about. Because if you go on from there, it talks about submitting to one another, submitting wives, submit to husbands, etc. But you cannot read those without reading them in the context of what comes before them. And it's all about being filled to overflowing with the Spirit of God. So joy, gratitude, humble love, these are the marks, some of the marks of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need to add on to that also the idea of being bold in witness. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 says this, "And they were all filled, that is, diffused throughout their being with Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, different languages, as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out and clearly and appropriately. Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, then Peter, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, members of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court, his idea of the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were meeting together was shaken, a sign of God's presence, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness and courage. Could it be therefore a reality that we are actually all meant to be bold and eager in witness? If we believe what we have just looked at, believe this idea that Holy Spirit is clearly producing us overflowing joy, perpetual gratitude and humble love and boldness. If we believe those things we've said, there should be an outworking in our lives. Ephesians chapter 5 and 18 says, don't be drunk with wine. But you know, I'm going to give it a go. No, I'm not really. Just stick with me. I'm going somewhere with there. Some of you are looking a bit worried. You want a drink, do you? So we read out Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, stupidity, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by him. Well, how do you get drunk with wine? You drink it, don't you? To get drunk with wine, you drink it. You drink in varying amounts. Some take a lot, some take a little bit, but it needs to be drunk to be, it needs to be consumed to get drunk with it. You drink it. The wine of Paul's day was so weak you could have drunk it for, you would have needed to drink it for hours to get drunk. So then, how then shall we get drunk, filled with the Spirit? What does it say there? Don't get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness and corruption, stupidity, but be filled with Holy Spirit and constantly guided by him. If there's an inference here that he's talking about, don't get drunk with wine, the inference here is get drunk with the Spirit of God. Consume large amounts of it. Consume large amounts of him, because Paul is referring to the reality of the wine wasn't stuff you just sipped. It was wine you could guzzle down because it had no real guts to it. It wasn't powerful. It wasn't strong. So the inference in this whole thing is that to get drunk with wine, Paul's talking to the people of Ephesus at the time. He's talking to them in that situation. What do we need to do to then be filled with the Spirit of God? We have got to continually drink of him, drink of him, drink of him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 says this, for one by one Holy Spirit we are all baptized into one body, spiritually transformed, united together, whether Jews or Greeks, Gentiles or free, and we are all made to drink of one Holy Spirit, since the same Holy Spirit fills each life. Jesus said these words in John chapter 7 and verses 37 through 39, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow continually rivers of living water. But he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him as Savior were to receive afterward. The Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified, raised to honor. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Drink of what? Had to be drink of the Spirit of God. Had to be to drink of the Spirit of God. Drink of the life. Drink of the very thing that was giving Jesus the life and the anointing, empowerment to do what he did. So how can we drink of the Spirit of God? Paul said this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. For those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, which are his will and his promise. I'm reading out of his will and purpose. I'm reading all my scriptures this morning are out of the Amplified Version. For those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit, His will and purpose. So we drink the Spirit by setting our minds on the things of the Spirit of God. Do not get drunk with wine, that scripture says. Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Therefore, if you've been raised to Christ, to a new life sharing in His resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." So what is this idea of setting our minds upon? Setting our mind on? Well, it means seeking. It means directing our attention, causing our gaze, focusing our inner gaze, our very being toward, being very concerned about, being devoted to, being taken up with this idea of drinking the Spirit of God. It has to be a deliberate focusing. It's not about sitting down. See, I have to deliberately go over here and have a drink. It's only Ribena, okay? It's not wine. Man, I'd be on my ear already if I'd had that much red wine. See, this idea of drinking the Spirit carries with it the sense of seeking the things of God and therefore directing our attention deliberately to the ways of God, with the result that we are becoming more and more devoted to the things of the Spirit. Has anybody noticed that when you make a decision that you are going to make sure that you intentionally pray every day, that you intentionally open the Bible up every day, that you intentionally listen to some worship, that something seems to happen on the inside? It does, doesn't it? It just goes, "Rah." You know, you can feel it just on the inside of you. It's just the inside, the internal working of the Spirit of God. You are nourished. You are filled. You are overflowing. You are being filled because you are intentionally, we are intentionally turning our gaze, our attention to the things of the Spirit, the things of God. Ever noticed when you do not do that? Mm-hmm. Big time, isn't it? It's not, yeah? You agreed, did? Cool. So what are the things of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says this, "But the natural unbelieving man does not accept the things, the teachings and the revelations of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness, absurd and illogical to him, and he is incapable of understanding them because they are spiritually discerned and appreciated, and he is unqualified to judge spiritual matters." Shall I read that again? "But the natural unbelieving man does not accept the things, the teaching and revelations of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness, absurd and illogical to him, and he is incapable of understanding them because they are spiritually discerned and appreciated, and he is unqualified to judge spiritual matters." Now, ladies, the he there is not just male, okay? The he there is humanity, so you can't just close your ears to this. Paul takes up this subject in this writing here of this idea of enlightening, of illumination, of revealing or a shining, putting the light on. This illumination being God's intervention on our behalf as a believer to understand His ways and His word. Because you know what? Unless He enlightens us on the inside, we cannot understand the ways of God. We cannot understand the Word of God. We can read it. We can consciously read it and try and understand the narration, the idea of the storyline of things, but it does not affect us on the inside. That is why non-believers wonder. If you talk to non-believers about the things of God, they'll go, "Have you lost the plot? What are you, la, 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 la. You know, we need to get the people in to help you out here." Because it is something that the Spirit of God breathes upon to help us understand. Paul deals, in what he writes here, Paul deals with the non-believer. Because the non-believer is not just non-believer who's never believed in God, but we can be a God believer, but a non-believer inside of it, because we're not following after the ways of God, because we are not opening our ears. We are not intentionally listening out. I know for myself over different times in my life that I have not considered properly the teaching and revelation of God because I'm in a bad place at that time, because I'm not interested in what God is saying. Yeah? So this applies to all of us, whether a non-believer or a believer. Verse 14, this is what it said. The natural unbelieving man does not accept the things, the teaching, the revelations of the Spirit of God. This word natural here means soulish, that which relates to the realm of the soul and not the spiritual. The soulish man, the soulish part of us, has a natural ability but no spiritual connection, therefore no capacity to be able to relate to God, because just for a whole lot of things. Number one, it has to be for the unbeliever because they've only had one birth. They haven't experienced a second birth of becoming born again and the Spirit of God coming on the inside of them and making them into this new creature, this new creation. The soulish man does not connect with the things, the teaching, the revelations of the Spirit of God, has no ability or power to value or understand godly truth. God's word does not penetrate, does not permeate into us. Does not welcome the word of God into his soul, and it results in being self-sufficient, deciding to live life without an important union with God. You know, and at various times, all of us have trafficked that way through our Christian walk. The things of the Spirit of God are foolishness to us at various times. And therefore, and we can happily live without this whole bit of a negative preference to the things of godly truth. Let's go on from that. John chapter 6 and 63 says this, is Jesus speaking. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh conveys no benefit of it, is of no account. The words I've spoken to you are Spirit and life, providing eternal life. Here we go. So the teachings of Christ are the things of the Spirit. So drinking the Spirit talks of setting our minds on the things of God, deliberately setting our ways on the things of God. You know what? Holy Spirit is not like wine, because he is a person and is free to come and go whenever he wills. Therefore, Jesus speaking again says this in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. You then, being evil, that is sinful by nature, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask? One of the things about continually being filled with Holy Spirit is that we ask. We drink of him. We ask. We pray. We ask. We ask. We pray. We ask. We drink. We drink. We pray. We ask. That is just how it goes on. Jesus said to his disciples, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, ask, pray for it. And then, can you chuck that last scripture up there, please, Yaku? So we go back in Ephesians a couple of chapters to chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. And as I read this, if you read through it as well, out loud or in your heads, that's cool. For this reason, grasping the greatness of this plan by which Jews and Gentiles are joined together in Christ, I bow my knees in reverence before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, God the first and ultimate Father. May he grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith, and may you, having been deeply and rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, God's people, the width and length and height and depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge, without experience, Now listen to this, that you may be filled up throughout your being to the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled, flooded with God Himself. That's powerful. That is actually crazy powerful if you actually think upon that. He says this, I bow my knees in reverence before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God himself, the very Creator, may He grant you out of the riches of all of His glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through His Spirit in your inner self. Anybody interested in that? We really should be, shouldn't we? We really should be interested in this. It's a whole idea about this grasping, this greatness of His plan. He asked the Father that believers might be filled with all the fullness of God, so that we as believers may be strengthened and spiritually energized with power on the inside. I have quickly thrown scriptures out today. I've quickly thrown some truths out today, and two longer scriptures there, because it's the Word of God that brings truth. It's the Word of God spoken out and received into our being that brings the change in our lives, just not pretty words. So what can we do then? It's very simple. If we agree with these scriptures that have been read out, this is what we need to do. We need to drink and we need to pray. And we need to pray and we need to drink. And then we need to drink and then we need to pray. And then we need to pray and then we need to drink. I know this is going to sound boring, but then we need to pray and then we need to drink. It is the praying is asking. It is the asking. It is asking, Holy Spirit, come and fill me afresh. Come and do what you promised to do in my life. Fill me afresh with your wonder, your strengthening power. Fill me to overflowing. Fill me up like I would blow air into a balloon and cause a balloon to fill up with air. Lord, come and blow your breath upon me. Holy Spirit, come upon me. Well, I welcome you. I welcome you. And then we have to be ready to drink. See, Mark said he was thirsty, but he didn't want to have any of my Ribena. I deliberately put it there as a way of just giving that the idea, but also I knew I'd get thirsty. But leaving it there is not going to quench my thirst. I have to pick that up and drink it. It's exactly the thing, same way with the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen? You want something?